Before Christmas, Pastor Josh approached me and asked, if you were to share on prayer, what would you think would be the most important? I gave him some top-of-my-head answer that really, in retrospect, was devout of any meaning or significance. However, despite my answer, Pastor Josh asked me if I'd be willing to share an aspect of prayer that is important with me to you, the congregation, this Sunday. I gave it some thought, and I believed, yes, I could share, but after saying yes, the feelings of inadequacy snuck in. I do not possess the Christian maturity to speak to such a vast yet intimate topic. There are many people here today who have been in conversation with God a lot longer and have way more faith maturity than me. I thought, what do I have to give? But one truth resonated with me, and that was, every time I step out and stretch myself, I learn something, and that lesson brings me closer to God. So my goal in doing this is to strengthen my relationship with God, and hopes of doing so I can deliver a message to you that can strengthen yours. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to learn and share your words with others today. May the message I have prepared here today be from you. May they help us all improve our prayer lives and strengthen our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. By a show of hands, how many of you believe that prayer works? Yay. We can all go home now, right? before we do, how many of you have been frustrated with prayer? Yep, okay, we're all in the same boat. During my research on prayer, I realized that I have not been strengthening my prayer muscle. I realized that most times my prayers are for immediate and pressing needs or requests on my life without any real thought, thankfulness, or genuine engagement with God. What I mean is I often pray things like, thank you for the day, thank you for my children, keep my children safe, and help me to be a better person. These prayers are not bad, but during my research I learned my prayers can be more effective and they can strengthen my relationship with God. When I first decided to become a Christian, my prayers were extremely effective. It was a time where I was just starting to learn about God. I was excited and truly believed that whatever I asked for would be given, just as Jesus told the disciples by the fig tree. This was fairly easy to have this faith, as I was living in New Zealand without my support network and limited money. I had to really rely on God. I prayed for money. I received work for the amount needed. I prayed for sighting of dolphins, and they appeared giving the most magical show. I prayed for travel and sleep accommodations and ended up with a free ticket to a Christian concert with free food and sleeping arrangements with a bonus gift of staying at a YWAM base, and many, many more. I knew the answer to my prayers came from God because he went out of his way to make it more lovely and spectacular than I could have ever expected. There was a connection in my heart, and I knew it was from him. I have found since coming home, these moments still occur, but less frequently, and my prayers seem less effective. However, in saying that, I have discovered I have not been developing my prayer muscle. Did you know that we need to develop prayer as we do any other skill? I did not know this. I'm sure many of you already have discovered this, but I really thought prayer was something that naturally developed. But through my research, I discovered that for prayer to be more effective, that move mountain-type prayer, it needs to be more bold, specific, and persistent. I also realize that prayer needs to take into account that if I have broken relationships or wrong motives, it will hinder my communication with God. To be specific and bold when praying is difficult. I feel like I'm setting myself up for failure or disappointment. What if I ask, but it's not God's will? I don't want to bother God with my meaningless prayers. I know when I pray, I want to get it right. and I want my prayers to align with God's will. Because in John 5:14-15 it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. To me, this indicates that our prayers will be answered if they align with God's will. Okay, so my quest began with how can I pray with so much boldness and faith that I believe that it will be answered and be effective because it aligns with God's will. One author that I read put my mind to rest rather quickly. He indicated that God is a big God. If you're praying for something and it's not in His will, He will quickly let you know. That to me means we can pray with our whole heart and be bold about it. In Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne with grace and with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, when I thought about it, I'm not sure about you, but I really do not have many opportunities to be bold. When we walk into a room filled with strangers, are we bold? Just think of how many opportunities we have in life to be bold. I think I'm not bold because I do not want others to judge me. I do not want to come off as arrogant. But with God, boldness is encouraged. We do not have to feel foolish if we're praying for something that we may not feel that is in His will. Because if we want it, we should pray it. And He is so loving that He will answer it, or He will help us see a new way, and we should have no fear in praying with boldness. So now that I've quickly put boldness to rest, we are left with effectiveness. I have discovered that there are many approaches to prayer that can help us align our prayers with God's will to improve effectiveness. I, however, am only going to share with you one of the ways, as this method has been most prevalent to me during our prayer week. That is to use Scripture to help me with prayer. I've used Scripture in public prayers, but not in my personal prayers. During prayer week, we focused on David's prayer, Psalms 86. I encourage you, those that haven't read it yet, to go home and do this. This prayer was used as a guideline to help us focus our prayers. By looking at the Scripture and making it more personal, this helped me focus and be more specific when I pray. For example, in verse 5 it says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call you." At first glance, it's saying, God is good. Yes, we know that. So how do we make it more personal? By counting the ways He is good. During prayer week, we as a group took time to reflect on how God has been forgiving and good to us in the past year. That is when the verse becomes more personal. At first, I did not get this, but when we took time to break down Psalms 86, it started to become a more personal prayer instead of David's prayer. It also became that my heart was connecting to the prayer, because when David prayed in verse 14, "Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me," I thought, "I have no one trying to kill me." But upon closer consideration, yes, I have fears, challenges, and struggles. And when I name them, actually name them to God, He then can help me through them. This method of praying increased my faith and my connection to God. I realized through my research that not only can this be done with prayers and psalms written in the Bible, but it can be done with all Scripture. You can use your concordance, you know that thing in the back of your Bible, or even Google to find Scriptures that pertain to the need or struggle you're going through. We can learn about the Scripture and what it means in the time it was written, and then discover what it means to us. This can help us be more specific and align our hearts with His will for our life. For example, instead of saying, "God, please help me get a new job or a way to make more money," you can use Philippians 4:19. It states, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Looking at this scripture, it was written by Paul in form of a letter to the people of the Philippian church, who were learning to work together as a church. Paul tells them, so that they can know that God will always meet their needs. So when we look at this verse, when praying, we can be more specific in our prayer, asking for God to take care of our needs, because if it is true for the Philippian church, then it is true for me. Your prayer then can indicate that you trust in Him to provide a job for you because He is a good God and will always take care of your needs. You probably already know this, but if you're struggling with praising God or worshiping Him, you can also find many, many scriptures to help you. Using scripture in personal prayers helps us to learn scripture and God's will for us and strengthen our relationship with Him and learn more about His character and heart. So if you want to know God's will for you, pray with scripture. Now that knowing scripture can help me pray more specifically, I had to take a closer look at persistence. Raising children, I have lost my zeal for persistence. Hearing children's petitions ruthlessly for items during the day does not want me to continue to badger my Heavenly Father for things in my life. I thought, I have asked, and well, if He wants to bless me in that way, great. If not, I will just carry on. But to my amazement, my research led me to discover what it really means to be persistent. In Luke, Jesus gives us an example of how to be persistent and the outcome. Let's listen to Jesus' words and His story in Luke 11, 5-9. Jesus says, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, 'A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat.' And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and a door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." The persistence that God is talking about is not the same as the persistence I get from my children about wanting candy. This kind of persistence helps me understand God's power. Let me try and explain how we see God's power when we are persistent. Who here has a short memory? Thank you. Do you ever think you've prayed a prayer that has been answered many years or many months later after you asked? Because of our human nature to not always remember our prayers or how God changed our heart in a prayer, if we do not keep coming to Him with it. What I mean by this is if I'm not continuously seeking and knocking when my prayer is answered, how will I know that it's God who answered it? I might just think it's a coincidence. Then, how can I praise and thank my Father for the answered prayer because I didn't even remember praying the prayer? It states in John 14:13, it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That means that when He answers our prayers, He wants to be worshipped and thanked. Another part of persistence is that if we keep praying for the same thing, He may slowly change our heart and mind. But if we just pray the prayer once, there is no opportunity for God to change your mind. And like I mentioned before, if I'm persistent, He will correct me or answer me. Either way, I've learned His heart and His love for me. I have just touched the surface on the ways I can improve the effectiveness of my prayers, but the Bible also tells us why our prayers may go unanswered, or why we feel that we have lost our connection to God. The Bible indicated that is because of broken relationships or wrong motives. In Mark 11:24-25, it states, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Jesus indicated that for a person bearing a grudge is like a tree sprouting leaves and bearing no fruit. Just in my small amount of research, I discovered many places where God is concerned with our relationship with each other. Paul even writes to the Thessalonians, encouraged them to increase their love for one another so it overflows. Listen as it is written in Thessalonians 4:9-10. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. I sometimes have to remember how important this is to God, but every person we see, God loves them. And I am called to love them as well. And as we all know, this is hard when we feel that we have been hurt or injured by another person. Not only do we need to be sure that we are loving our brothers and sisters and our people in our community, but we also have to make sure that our motives are good. According to Proverbs 16:2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And in James 4:3, it indicated, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. I believe this indicates that our prayers will become more effective when we allow for God to change our desires so that they perfectly correspond to His will for us. For example, if you need a new job or your prayer is for a new job, but you want God to create the circumstances for another employee maybe to get fired, that's not loving. But to pray that the person hiring you finds an opportunity in the company that allows you to use your skills, talents, and abilities to benefit the company and also be a light to the other employees, that is a prayer that demonstrates a love of others and aligns with God's will for you. So when you feel disconnected to God or our prayers are falling flat, it may be a good time for us to ask God if there's anyone we need to forgive or pray for growth in our character so our motives and our prayers align with His. During this week, I have realized that an effective prayer takes time and practice. I'm thankful now that I can start to practice these strategies into my private prayer life. But if you only remember one thing today, remember this. We can come every day and practice and learn to increase our effectiveness in prayer. And no matter what, we'll encounter a Father that loves us so much, He will move mountains for us. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words today. May they penetrate our hearts and give us a desire to increase our private prayer life with you. We know you are a big God and love us so much, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.